Welcome to our Social Impact Podcast. I'm Paul Kellner. This is the first in a series during which we'll be digging into ideas that will enhance your social impact practice. We'll talk about new ideas and concepts that form the basis of social impact work. We'll talk about modes of measurement and other practical skills to ensure that your practice is effective. And moreover, we'll hone in on leadership skills, ways of motivating yourself, and even ways to find purpose in the work that you're doing. So, in today's podcast, we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to ask two basic questions. Why are we talking about social impact? And why should we do social impact work? To answer the first question properly, we need to be on the same page about what we're talking about when we say social impact. The University of Michigan Center on Social Impact defines it as a significant, positive change that addresses a pressing social issue. An effort that has social impact is the result of deliberate sets of activities with a goal. This sounds simple enough, but if we break it down, this definition has key components that can help us learn a lot about what makes social impact-oriented work different from traditional philanthropy, corporate social responsibility, and other means of giving back to our communities. So first, I'd like to start with the idea of significant. For me, what this really means is substantially and meaningfully moving the needle. It's a question of magnitude. Given that we are talking about social impact, we need to think about what sorts of changes may constitute a significant social change. We're all familiar with programs that think in terms of very tangible outcomes, like jobs created or meals administered. These programs often do a great deal of good. However, the social nature of these challenges means that they're naturally complex and multifaceted. If we take a serious look at the challenge that we're facing, we may find that there may be deeper aspects that could be changed to make our social impact work even more significant and have a greater magnitude of impact. For instance, if we're thinking about a workforce development program, we may find that job creation alone may not be the complete picture of our goals. We might find that creating jobs that facilitate the dignity of our new employees is what we're really trying to get at. So, we might need to think in terms of making sure that our new employees can earn a living wage, or think in terms of making sure that their working conditions are good, or even think about measuring how they feel about whether or not they're able to truly support their family on their wages, or whether their job gives them a sense of self-respect or accomplishment. Similarly, let's think of a program that administers food to the homeless. Again, it provides a real and useful service, first off. And second, it might even provide a bit of dignity to the individuals who are benefiting from the program. But we may also find that some of the people who are serving in this project are subject to a series of social injustices that have led them to their current life situation. For instance, they may lack access to reasonably priced housing. They may lack access to good public transport, and there may not be services to help them deal with substance abuse or mental health concerns. So in short, thinking about our social impact practice and ways that it can be more significant may lead us to additional ideas about how to measure our impact, as well as think about the root causes and problems associated with the challenges we seek to address. The second key aspect to the definition I mentioned earlier is the word positive. This means that we make a significant change in the right direction. When thinking about making a positive change, we want to ask ourselves whether we can understand all the outcomes of our intervention. Moreover, what effects the process of change may have as well. Social impact work requires us to understand a change in a holistic fashion. Intervening in other people's lives can have real consequences, both positive and negative, both unintended and intended. So we need to critically reflect on all the potential outcomes, intended or unintended, and create a theory of change that will be ready to maximize positives and minimize or cope with negatives. Third, social impact work is deliberate. For me, this means thoughtful, engaged, and maybe using air quotes, educated. When engaging with anyone, but especially with community partners, we want to be confident that we know what we're talking about. Either that, or we want to have a strong sense of what we don't actually know. So, data is, of course, critical. But beyond this, social impact work is social. And so we need to take very seriously all the forms of data that come directly from our community partners. In particular, paying attention to existing strengths and capabilities within the community, as well as listening to community feedback, even when it may contradict some of our more objective data. The act of opening up a dialogue with community partners can be as critical for social impact work as any data, because it creates an avenue to find answers to new questions together, it engenders community ownership of projects, and it creates a culture of curiosity within your organization. Through this kind of well-informed, community-engaged discussion, we can extend institutions that do regular charity work into institutions that play critical, strategic roles in community life. Sometimes we call these sorts of institutions anchor institutions. Thoughtful, informed engagement is where anchor institutions begin. The last part of the definition that I'd like to discuss with you is the word set. Such a small but important word. We're talking about addressing a challenge with a set of activities. This means multifaceted, multi-partner, social-ecological approaches to challenges. For social impact to have impact, we need to create stable, sturdy, and sustained efforts. Again, because social challenges are, at their root, complex, we need to attack them from multiple angles. For instance, let's think about that workforce development program we were talking about earlier. Maybe we find that we're able to open up a number of new skilled jobs in our organization, but the skilled workers required to fill them don't exist in our target community. So, we may decide that we need to partner with a local community college to develop a skills training curriculum. After we've developed that curriculum, we may find that those skilled workers are unable to reach our jobs because the transit infrastructure in our target community is woefully inadequate. So, we're behooved to engage with policymakers to seek to change that transit system so that the people who we've just trained can access the work that we're providing. Yet further still, maybe when we do our long-term projections for the program, we find that many of these skilled workers are actually reaching retirement age, and the young people from the target community are not currently interested in taking up those jobs. Then we might need to engage with schools and after-school programs to create field trips or internships that plant the seed of an idea that may grow into an aspiration for our skilled profession. Because this challenge is complex, we naturally approach it in partnership with policymakers, academics, cultural organizations, schools, young people. In short, social impact work can often be the most powerful if it takes a holistic approach to a challenge. Okay, so we've just spent the last 10 minutes talking about what sets social impact work apart from some of the more traditional ways of thinking about charity and corporate social responsibility. And before I conclude our session, I want to just flag up a few phrases that I'd like you to keep in your mind for future sessions. They are anchor institutions, theory of change, and social ecological. No more discussion on these topics today, but I just want you to keep those things in your mind for future reference. I'd like to wrap up by addressing the second question I raised at the beginning of the podcast. Why should we do this work? And to get at the answer to that question, I'll ask you to reflect on three different ideas. First, we've seen that social impact work sets itself apart by seeking to make significant, holistic, well-informed, community-engaged change. So I want to ask, how could a community project from your past have benefited from the addition of any one of those elements? How could a community project from your past have benefited from more significant work, more holistic work, more well-informed work, or more community-engaged work? Second, we are all community members ourselves. So please reflect for a moment on what drives you personally to do social impact work. And lastly, you're part of an institutional community. Please reflect on what drives your institution to do social impact work. Okay, and I've got a bonus. Do your motivations and your institution's motivations overlap? Why or why not? How do you think you could bring them closer together? Okay, until next time, I'm Paul Kellner, and this is your Social Impact Podcast.